The Catholic Channel Sirius XM 129 presents Sounds from the Spires with Dr. Jennifer Pasquale, Music Director of St. Patrick's Cathedral.
And you're listening to Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel of Sirius XM 129. And today we have a very special guest, a return during this pandemic, Dr. Gail Archer, who's an extraordinary organist and wonderful person, teacher, professor. She's just a great gal and giving some wonderful performances here coming up from Eastern Europe repertoire. So we're really so happy to have her again. Dr. Gail, how are you?
I'm very well today, Jennifer. How are you? It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And I know we just had you on the program about 3 months ago, but one of your colleagues reached out to me and says, oh, you must have her again because she's giving these three concerts from Polish and Ukrainian and Russian composers. And so I said, definitely, we'll have her on again because people need to know about these and hope that people can tune in or be there in person, whichever the case may be.
Right. I'm playing the Polish program, which is a new program for me, this coming Sunday at 2:30 p.m. And yes, indeed, you can come in person. John Uline, our wonderful colleague, is the music director at St. Francis Xavier Church downtown on 14th Street here in New York. And I've played there pretty regularly on their music series. And the organ is just lovely. It's a three-manual instrument, and the acoustic in that sanctuary is splendid. So you really feel an ease in performance there because you know the space is so resonant. It just gives you time to think and be expressive. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Sure. And that's February 7th, this Sunday. So this weekend, as you're listening, it's Sunday at 2:30 p.m., St. Francis Xavier, 55th West 15th. Is this also going to be broadcast or is it an in-person concert?
No, this one's just going to be live. Some of the others will be live streamed, but they couldn't do that this time for a number of reasons. But I would like to point out that these concerts are co-sponsored by the Harriman Institute of Columbia University.
Okay.
I'm a faculty member at Harriman, and they are the institute on campus that particularly focuses on Eastern Europe. So there are political scientists, historians, foreign language teachers, people in the arts. It's a wide range of interests that are supported by Harriman, even though we don't teach in the same departments at all. We all have the common interest in the culture of Eastern Europe, and that's really interesting.
That's great. And I know that you have, Dr. Gail, a recording of your Ukrainian repertoire and Russian repertoire. Do you plan on making a recording of the Polish repertoire as well?
Yes, of course. That's the next project. I had originally hoped to go to Poland and play in Gdynia, which is right next to Gdańsk. There's a wonderful parish there where our colleague Carol Hilla, spelled exactly the same as Karol Wojtyła, our great Polish Pope, K-A-R-O-L, a gentleman meaning Charles in English. Carol Hilla is the music director at one of the large Catholic parishes in Gdynia, and they have a wonderful organ. I'd hope to go there. But with the pandemic, I don't think that's going to be possible unless we wait quite a while. So I'm thinking of one of the parishes in Chicago, actually, which is the big American Center for Polish Culture, as most people probably know. But St. John Cancius on Carpenter Street rescued a wonderful Casavant organ and had it restored. They sent it to Montreal. Four manuals. It's one of the beautiful old Casavants from the 1930s. And they bought it from a church that had to close its doors in the Chicago area. But our colleague Stephen Schnoor, who is very active with the Oregon Historical Society, was able to help them to purchase the organ from the parish that had to close its doors. and then restore the organ. They had raised funds to send the instrument back to Montreal to be entirely refurbished. And then they put it in the high balcony at the, they have two balconies at St. John Cancius. And the organ now is in the second balcony. And that's a beautiful parish. Oh my goodness. That's one of the major Polish churches in Chicago. They have a little chapel there that they decorated exactly the same as St. Mary's Church in Krakow, Poland. Mm. When I went there on a visit to play a few years ago, they said, oh, you have to see our newly decorated side chapel over here. And I walked in there and went, oh, it's St. Mary's Krakow, I said very loudly. And they said, oh, yeah. So the ceiling is all this radiant, dark, dark blue with gold stars on it. The whole ceiling at St. Mary's in Krakow is like that. It's the most astonishing building. It's right on the main square in Krakow. It's the principal cathedral. And I guess there are a considerable number of parishioners from Krakow. And when they were doing the renovations, they decided to decorate the chapel exactly like St. Mary's Krakow. Even me, I'm non-Polish. And I went in there and said, oh my gosh, look at this. So it's really remarkable. And the rest of the church is beautiful too. It's just a lovely space. So I hope to realize the Polish project there. Because the big organ is truly a romantic instrument that will play this music to perfection. But that's still all to be arranged with the pandemic and economic difficulties and so forth. We'll have to wait a bit. But that's what I'm hoping will be realized probably in the next year.
Yeah. Krakow is such a special place and it's amazing. I went there, I've only been there once and you've been to Poland a number of times, but have you been to Gdynia, Gail?
Yes, I've been to Gdynia and Gdańsk. I've played at our cathedral, St. Mary's in Gdańsk.
Right.
That's a wonderful, wonderful place. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting story of the organ too, because the church, let's see how the story goes. The organ that is currently in St. Mary's Gdańsk, the Mariacki is what it is called. Mm-hmm. Bogusław Grabowski is our colleague there. And he's been there for many years. He's a wonderful man. But before Bogusław's time, the church purchased or were given the case, the outward organ case of a 17th century organ. The organ was destroyed when this other church was bombed, mm-hmm. but the case, when it fell to the floor, survived.
Wow.
And so St. Mary's Gdańsk got the case. It looks like a Fabergé egg.
It does.
Silver and gold. I mean, you've been there. I mean, it's silver and gold and carved in such an intricate way that the eye cannot take in all the detail. It is so original and remarkable. And then with war reparations, a German firm built a new Baroque style instrument. Hildebrand, I believe, is the builder. Okay. Huh. Built the new organ in the 17th century case in the Mariacki in Gdańsk. So that organ is just splendid. I've played there several times. You need an assistant. You can't pull and push those big stops by yourself. Usually the assistant organ to help you because the energy you have to have to push and pull the stops, it's a considerable task, but it's really worth it. The acoustics in there are remarkable too. It's such a grand space, really beautiful, beautiful church in Gdańsk.
Yeah, I only went in there as a tourist. So thank you for telling me about the history of the organ. I thought that the case and the instrument were all in one. So it's great to hear how you just explained.
They were different. They rescued the case after World War II, after the bombing. And then they put the new organ inside the case with the war reparations from Germany. And a German builder constructed the pipe organ so it would fit into the 17th century case.
Right. Interesting. Dr. Gail Archer, our guest today here on Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel, is playing a Polish concert at St. Francis Xavier. So this weekend, as you're listening to this program, she's playing on Sunday at 2:30. That's at 55 West 15th Street in Manhattan. So is it free to the public, Gail?
Yes, free and open to everyone.
All right, fabulous. And she's also playing a Ukrainian program, and we'll talk about that, and a Russian program as well. We'll get you the dates on that. But let's switch gears for a second and listen to Dr. Gail playing a little bit of Modest Mazurski's Night on Bald Mountain. And that was a little bit of Dr. Gail Archer playing Modest Mazurski, Night on Bald Mountain. And you're listening to Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel of Sirius XM 129. And I am your host, Dr. Jennifer Pasquale. And Dr. Gail is a fabulous organist. She teaches. She's a wonderful professor at Columbia and Barnard College, and playing these three fabulous programs The Polish one, again, is this Sunday, as you're listening to this weekend's program. Sunday at 2:30 at St. Francis Xavier in Manhattan at 55th West 15th Street, free and open to the public. The next one is a Ukrainian program, March 16 at 7 p.m. at St. Jean-Baptiste in Manhattan at 184 East 76th Street. And a Russian program on April 10th at 3 p.m. at St. John Nepomucene, then that's 411 East 66th Street. I know that Mark Pako live streams at St. John Nepomucene, and that's free and open to the public. The Ukrainian program, St. John Baptiste, is that open to the public and live streamed or just live?
I think it's going to be open to the public, but not live streamed.
Okay. All right.
But Mark Pako always live streams. And what's so much fun about that is that they have a radio station in Bratislava in the Slovak Republic that assists Mark in live streaming internationally. It's really wonderful. As you know, St. John Nepomucene is the Slovak parish here in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. But there are wonderful ties with the home country, and Mark is able to take advantage of that and has this wonderful contact in Bratislava. I've been there too. A year or so ago, I had a chance to go to Bratislava and I played at a smaller parish outside of the main city. But that was my first visit there about a year ago. And it's a beautiful city. It's small, you can walk all around it. There's an amazing castle up on a hill. You can walk up to the castle and then look down at the River Danube from way up on this hill where the castle is placed on this wonderful vantage point. So it's a beautiful old European city and all the little streets in the old town. It's such fun just to walk around there and enjoy the atmosphere. It has this, it's time travel. You just go way back in time to a world that's far distant from our own to appreciate the village life and the restaurants and the beautiful old buildings. It's a very pretty place.
Dr. Gale, I wish I could follow you around on all your travels with a video camera because you would make such a great travel host, you know, kind of play the organs and then show the towns and everything.
Yeah, I know. But I love to travel. I really do. And that's what the pandemic has made so difficult for all organists. So much of what we do, not only in parish work, but in our performing lives,
right,
we travel, we do exchanges with our colleagues in other parts of the United States and other parts of the world, and we have our colleagues come to us. I mean, you do this regularly and I do too. So this is what we are missing, this personal contact, an exchange, because it's a musical exchange, cultural exchange with our colleagues. And none of that can happen at this moment in history. We just cannot because of the risks and the illness. Mm-hmm. So we will all be so grateful in a year, 18 months, when we can resume this wonderful exchange, which is so enriching for all of us.
Amen. Nice words from Dr. Gale, and we look forward to just hearing more about your travels and whatnot. But let's listen to a little bit more. This is another Russian piece, the Prelude and Fugue in D minor, Opus 98 by Alexander Glazunov. And we may only be able to listen to the prelude on this program because I wish we had 3 hours together, Gale, but we don't. So this is the Glazunov Prelude and maybe a little bit of the Fugue here on Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. And you just listened to a short prelude in G minor by Cesar Cui here on Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. I'm Dr. Jennifer Pasquale, your host. And our guest today is Dr. Gail Archer, fabulous organist and doing three monumental concerts here in Manhattan this spring here, starting with this weekend with a Polish concert this Sunday, 2:30 p.m. at St. Francis Xavier, 55 West 15th Street in Manhattan. And then March 16, she's giving a Ukrainian program at 7 p.m. St. Jean Baptiste in Manhattan, 184 East 76th Street. And then a Russian program on April 10 at 3 p.m. at St. John Nepomucene. That's 411 East 66th Street in Manhattan. They're all free and open to the public. And the Russian one will be live streamed as well. Dr. Gail, how did you start your love for the Eastern European repertoire and culture? How did this come about?
Well, it was interesting to go to Poland. I had never been there. This would have been maybe 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. But I met Marek Kudlitsky, who has some family living here in the United States. And Marek and I got to know each other through some connections here in New York. And I sponsored a Polish organ series here in New York. This is quite a long time ago now. And I brought Bogusław Grabowski and Marek and another colleague from Krakow. And I got to know them and to appreciate the choral and organ traditions in Poland, which are powerful. Mm-hmm. And I really didn't know much at all about any of that. And so I went to Poland and played half a dozen concerts, I think, the first time, and really was so impressed with the singing in the churches and the number of people that came to concerts. You play an organ recital there, and the church is full to capacity from front to back. I just was overwhelmed by the support, and not only just the numbers of people, but the knowledge. People really appreciated the beauty of the music, but knew a great deal about it. From those who were translating for me, people were asking questions, not just, oh, gee, the piece was nice, but gee, what stops did you use to get this sound or that sound? I was just so impressed with the depth of knowledge about an organ and how it works and their interest in the literature. I'm saying, this is rich soil for investigation here. So as I traveled to other Eastern European places, I found it was exactly the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go to Lithuania, you go to Hungary, you go to Czech Republic, Slovak Republic, you go to Ukraine, all of these places, it doesn't matter where. That appreciation for the organ and its literature is so strong in a way we don't experience here in America at all. So few people, it's sort of a niche, yes, kind of interest in the United States. Europe's better, Western Europe, they know more about organ culture. But go to Eastern Europe, and this is a different world.
Yeah.
I've had those experiences. I mean, I had it the first time in Poland, which was eye-opening, say a dozen years ago. And then I had the same experience in all the other countries. Come on. So I said, okay, now we're really going to have to do some work.
Right.
So I started asking colleagues there to recommend composers and publishers where I could find this, or composers themselves that would send me their own scores that I could play through. So we can all thank my colleagues in Eastern Europe who have helped me, been guiding me through this exploration of music that I didn't know at all, and that people in Western Europe and the US have no idea about. I was unaware of this rich culture. I absolutely was a dozen years ago.
Yeah.
But now, of course, I have learned a very great deal and appreciate the diversity, the richness, men and women who are just writing lovely music for the organ, and found out that there are many, many organs, sometimes in concert halls. That's different in Eastern Europe. Sometimes the Philharmonic in a city will sponsor an organ hall, like a small chamber music hall nearby the Philharmonic, and that's where the organ will be, because the town itself may be overwhelmingly Russian Orthodox, in which case there are no organs. It's a sung tradition in the Eastern Church.
Right.
So there, but there are organs. Who knew, right? I didn't know. There are organs all over the place, but often under the auspices of the Philharmonic Orchestra of the city. So there's this wonderful collaboration. In Ukraine, that was exactly the case where I made my Ukrainian CD. The Philharmonic in Chernivtsi gave the money for the new Rigorklos organ in the Armenian Catholic Church. And so they paid for the installation, they paid for the instrument. So our Armenian community brothers and sisters use the beautiful organ for worship, and the Philharmonic sponsors its summer organ series there and chamber music performances. They have a Steinway piano, so small vocal performances, string performances can take place. So they use the Armenian Catholic Church as a chamber music hall all during the year, but the Armenian community uses it as a worship space every day.
Right.
And they cooperate together. The city and the worship community are completely in cooperation with one another. How beautiful is that?
That's amazing. Yeah.
It's so lovely. And then everybody benefits.
That's
everybody.
Right.
So I have seen that. I mean, it only helps to foster and support organ culture in Eastern Europe. I've seen this a lot. And I knew nothing about this. I mean, really zero, a dozen years ago.
Yeah, and it's just such a rich thing. It's a rich experience to be able to do there, to go there and to perform and make those connections with people. That's just the, that's the most important thing.
And right, and yeah. you learn so much. You learn things you never thought possible.
Exactly, yeah. And you've been to Russia a number of times, and it's the same thing there. The Russian Orthodox churches don't have the organs, but the concert halls and the conservatories and the Roman Catholic and the Protestant churches, they have the organs, and they're full. Like you mentioned, the concert halls and the churches are full when they have an organ recital.
Yes.
How many times have you been to Russia, Gail?
Six times now.
Wow. Yeah.
Six times. My first time was in 2013, before the Sochi Olympics. My colleague in St. Petersburg, Daniel Zaretsky, received a generous grant from the Russian government to bring organists from all different countries and send them around Russia to play concerts in that summer. There were dance companies, theater companies, all sorts of performing arts invited to Russia leading up to the Sochi Winter Olympics in 2014. So I played half a dozen concerts. I started in Irkutsk, which is in Siberia. And I came all the way back to Moscow on the Trans-Siberian Railway. I lived on the train for 2 weeks. I will never forget it as long as I live. What a trip. I saw the country from the train. It was amazing. And then they would meet me at each stop along the way and take me to wherever I was going to play. It was so wonderful. And then I've been a number of times since. So it's really wonderful.
That's amazing. That's something I haven't done yet, is the train to, you know, not even to do the whole thing, but just to go partway just to see the country.
Yeah.
I've only flown within the country.
Right, because I flew from Paris to Moscow initially. That was quite a trip. I'm sitting there saying, I'm a girl from Paterson, New Jersey. And I'm about to get on a plane in Paris and fly to Moscow. Never in all of my wildest dreams did I ever think I would do that. I was sort of pinching myself, saying I couldn't believe I was getting on the plane in Paris. And then when I got to Moscow, I had to change and go to another plane internally, domestic, and fly to Irkutsk overnight, which was really a long flight. Uh-huh. That's the farthest away from home I've ever been. It's 3 hours from the Chinese border. You're way out there.
Have you played at the Catholic Cathedral in Moscow?
No, I played at the Lutheran Cathedral there, though.
Okay.
They have a very nice late 19th century organ there. That's a beautiful church. It's 10 minutes walk from Red Square. So I was right in the center of the town.
Uh-huh.
And I stayed in an apartment within the Lutheran Cathedral Prospect. They had small apartments for visiting clergy, visiting musicians, whatever it was. So they put me up. It was lovely. It really was lovely.
Yeah.
But yeah, Moscow's, that was my first time to Moscow about a year ago.
Okay. We should connect you with the Catholics. We should get
I would love to be connected to the Catholic Cathedral, to be connected with our community abroad.
East and West. We should do that.
We should do that. It's really wonderful. But that's what was wonderful in Ukraine too, to meet the clergy at the Armenian Catholic Church. You know, there are Eastern brothers and sisters, and it was so inspiring to be in that space. And it's lovely to connect with other parts of our church, and to see that this is healthy and open. And that's the other thing in Russia too, whether they're Russian Orthodox or Roman Catholic, everyone's worshiping freely. And while there are many tensions and problems, people are praying. And I think that can only help.
That's right. Amen. We're talking with Dr. Gail Archer, organist extraordinaire, and she's giving three wonderful concerts here in Manhattan this Sunday, February 7th at 2:30 p.m. at St. Francis Xavier. That's an all-Polish program. That's 55 West 15th Street. March 16th at 7 p.m. at St. Jean Baptiste, Manhattan, 184 East 76th Street. That's a Ukrainian program. And April 10th at 3 p.m. at St. John Nepomucene at 411 East 66th Street. And that's an all-Russian program. And let's take a listen now to just a little bit of the fanfare by Bohdan Kutyuk. And this is on her recording, Gail Archer, Chernivtsi, Contemporary Ukrainian Organ Music.
Thank you.
And you just listened to a little bit of The Fantasy by Ivan Krzyżanowski, which is on the Gail Archer Chernivtsi Contemporary Ukrainian Organ Music CD. And Dr. Gail Archer is our guest today here on Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel. I'm Dr. Jennifer Pasquale, your host. Go to Gail Archer's website, gailarcher.com, correct, Gail? And then also she has a YouTube page, so you can see all this here. She was on our program about 3 months ago, and we played a lot of contemporary Ukrainian organ music. So we're going to spend more time playing Russian music during this hour. But this Sunday, February 7th at 2:30 p.m., St. Francis Xavier, all Polish. And Gail is going to come out with a Polish CD in the next couple of years. So we'll look out for that. But that's free and open to the public, 55 West 15th Street. Tell us, Gail, what, in a nutshell, what repertoire you're playing for this Sunday.
Okay, it's a wide-ranging program. There were three brothers, all with the name of Serzinski. They're brothers, all composer organists. One is Joseph, one was Stefan, and I'm playing a piece by Mieczysław Serzinski, which is an improvisation on a Polish hymn. What I love about it, the piece starts like a hymn that anyone would sing, just simple four-part harmony. And then he does one beautiful variation after another on the hymn, including the famous funeral march in the middle of it. You know, the Poles can't get away from this stuff. It's like Chopin's famous sonata with the funeral march in the midst of it. The Symphony No. 8 for organ by Felix Nowowiecki also has a march funebre in the middle of it too. The Poles have a dark history from some of their more troubled neighbors. And they channel that into the sorrow of loss, whether of land or life. They channel that sorrow into their music, and the depth of expression in some of these sections, really special. There's one woman composer. Jennifer knows, I always like to include women composers in my work. So this is Grazina Bosovitz, the sketch for organ. And it's so spare. It's such fun to play. It's like an improvisation. Some of it will have meter to it. She'll go into 6-8 suddenly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. And then the next section is completely free form. And really fun to play with little clusters all over the place, which I like too. There's lots of wonderful rhythm in that piece. She passed away in 1969. So it's not immediately contemporary, but earlier in the 20th century. And I just think it's so important to include the music of women composers. The most abstract piece is by Henryk Gorecki, who is very, very well-known contemporary Polish composer. He died in 2010, so more recent. His cantata for organs on the program, that's very free form and minimalist. There's very little materials that he keeps spinning out and changing slightly and then bringing it back in a new guise. You really have to pay attention to the structure of the chord. That's probably the toughest for the listener, these kind of clouds of sound. But then I'm going to follow it with that symphony number 8 by Novoselsky, and that's really romantic.
Uh-huh.
The piece that connects to America the most is the Elegy by Felix Borowski. Felix Borowski came here. He dies in 1956 in Chicago. But what's interesting about him is that not only was he a writer of music, he was a writer. Yeah. He became the chief annotator for all the programs of the Chicago Symphony for years. He was so knowledgeable about all the symphonic literature, not just organ literature. And he wrote all the program notes for the Chicago Symphony. I knew nothing about this, and now I do know. And mm-hmm. the music's lovely. It's just beautiful. And there's lots of it. There's sonatas for organ. There are suites for organ. I had never heard of this composer. And he has such a lovely American connection. I mean, they clearly respected him in Chicago. He wouldn't be hired for a position like that without being a fine writer and also very knowledgeable about the broad range of the symphonic literature. So it's fun to learn about these people and to learn about the connections.
Fabulous. That's a wonderful program, Gail. Again, if you're listening, it's Sunday this weekend, February 7th at 2:30 p.m. at St. Francis Xavier, 55 West 15th Street. It's free and open to the public, and all Polish program, as Dr. Gail just mentioned, all the pieces. And then on March 16th, the Ukrainian program at 7 p.m. at St. Jean Baptiste, 184 East 76th Street. And then an all-Russian program, April 10 at 3 p.m. at St. John Nepomucene Church, 411 East 66th Street. Gail, I wish we had another hour because you're so passionate about what you do. I love hearing about your travels and your repertoire and your projects.
Thank you.
We could definitely talk for at least another hour, but definitely, once again, we'll have you on the program, especially when you have this Polish CD out. That'll be fabulous.
That'll be really fun. It'll take a little time. So the world comes back to whatever the new normal is going to be.
Yes, but I wish you best of luck on all three concerts. I hope to at least get to one of them. I'll definitely watch the Nepomucene online. I'll definitely be there in spirit and in eyes. But go to GailArcher.com and you can find out all about Gail. She has a YouTube page as well, so you can hear her recordings. And we'll finish out by listening today to a little bit of the Toccata by Sergei Slonimsky, and that's on her CD, A Russian Journey. We've been talking to Dr. Gail Archer. Thank you so much, Dr. Gail. Good luck to you. And I know you'll be fabulous on all these concerts, and we'll have you on again. Stay safe during this pandemic and be well and don't slip in the snow or anything like that.
Thank you, Jennifer, for having me. It's always fun to talk to you.
Yes, likewise. I always learn something from you, and it's always great to hear about your travel stories as usual. Thank you, Dr. Gail. Thank you, Robert. And stay tuned next week for Sounds from the Spires on the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. Have a great week.